Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Peites, and we are three lines from the top of daf Peites Amud Aleph, the two dots, Mokoyim Shenoa Gulamud Begasa V'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael, Hanasun Matzora Bashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refuah Shalema for Rivka Bas Rachel and Sara Bas Rachel. So, yesterday we began a new Mishnah which discussed halachos related to midos and mishkalos. Today's daf and tomorrow's daf are going to continue on that theme, and I think it's kedai, as a very brief introduction, to just go through the psukim in the Torah that deal with this inyan. In fact, the Torah talks about it in two places, in Torah's Koyanim, which is in Parshas Kedoshim, and then again in Mishnah Torah in Parshas Kisetze. The pasuk says, Loisasu Ovel Bamishpat, Bamida, Bamishko, Ubamisura. So you're not allowed to be corrupt in your business dealings, regardless of whether you're dealing with a Mida, a Mishko, or a Misura. Rashi says, a Mida was a measurement that was used to measure land. A Mishko, Rashi says, Kimashmoy, meaning a weight. Ube Mesura, Rashi says, is a measurement that was used to measure things that are liquid. A Dover Lach. The Torah continues and says, Moizne Tzedek, Avne Tzedek, Efas Tzedek, Vehin Tzedek, Yolochem. You have to make sure that all the things that you use to measure things, whether it's a Maznayim, whether it's Avonim, whether it's an Efa, whether it's a Hin, they all have to be Tzedek. They have to be correct. They have to be righteous. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Yitzeisi Yaschem Me'aretz Mitzrayim. The Torah says it again in Mishnah Torah. There the Torah says, Lo yilecha bechischa even vo'even gedoyla uktana. A person's not allowed to have in his kiss, in his rentzel, two stones. One a gedoyla and the other one a ktana. So these were stones that were used for weighing, and it would behoove a person to have a bigger one and a smaller one. So depending on whether he wants the number to come out bigger or smaller, is he buying, is he selling, so he knows which one to pull out. So obviously they'd be similar in size, but one is a gedoyla and the other one is a ktana. Says the Torah, it's a loisase, lo yielucha bechischa, you're not allowed to have these two stones. Additionally, lo yielucha beveischa, eifa, the Eifa Gedoyla Ktana. Eifa is another type of measuring tool. And the Torah says you can't have two Eifas, either the Gedoyla or the Ktana, whatever the Minig HaMakom is, but you can't have both a Gedoyla and a Ktana. Simdritimal says the Torah, Even Shlema Vatzedek Gialach, Eifa Shlema Vatzedek Gialach. You have to make sure that your Even and your Eifa is going to be Shlema, it's going to be Tzedek, it's going to be complete, it's going to be righteous. Because if you do this, you'll have arichas yomim on the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you, Eretz Yisrael. And clearly, the implication is that if you're not going to do this, Rachmana Litzlan, it will be at the expense of your arichas yomim. And then the Torah concludes and says, Ki toyavas Hashem alekecha kol oisei eila, kol oisei yovel. Any person that is corrupt in his business dealings, he's a toyeva in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, this is something that's very intense. This is something that's very serious. So again, very wordy, dealing with measurements and concepts that we're only familiar with from learning the sugyas, not from experiencing and living in that type of world. The Gemara now is going to begin a rather lengthy discussion that is going to really be centered on these psukim. In fact, the Gemara is going to begin by introducing braisa after braisa after braisa. How many braises? So many braises that Chazal felt that all these braises required a mnemonic. It required a simon for us to be able to remember it. And in the world of simonim, this is a pretty long simon. And that's where the daf begins. Simon, ein ma'ainin, ve'ein goychen, ba'gardamin, ubalitra, shloisha va'asar, nefesh, mishkolois, memachik ava, loisasu, loyasa. Zok de gemar, tanu rabban. We learned to the braisa. Minayin she'ein moichkin, b'mokim she'goychen, ve'ein goychen, b'mokim she'moichkin. So the Mishnah had already said that there were some places that when they would measure something that people wanted to buy, they would be goydesh. There were other places where they would be moichik. So what's the difference? So somebody's buying a certain measurement of flour. So you could take the measuring cup, fill it up to the top, and let it be heaping a little bit. Or you could take the measurement, fill it up to the top, and then smooth it. To be goydesh means for it to be heaping. For to be moichik means miloshem memachik. One of the lametes melachis, it would mean to smooth it. So the Braisa says, how do you know that if you live in a place where people are moichik, you're not allowed to be goydish, and if you live in a place where people are goydish, you're not allowed to be moichik? Talmud Loimar, it says in the pasuk eifa shleima, and from the word shleima we learn that your measurement has to be shalem, it has to be complete. What's the taitch of complete? Complete means you have to follow the minhag hamakim and you can't veer off. Now the Rashbam says that that's pashut, that we don't need this drasha of Eifa Shlema to teach me now to be a ganef. So if the minhag, for example, is to be goydish and you're going to be moichik and you're the moicher, so you're a ganef, right? We don't need the Torah to tell me that. What the pasuk and what the purpose of the drasha is, that even if the person is willing to be moichel, so that I'm going to be moichek in a place where the minig is really to be goydish, but the loikeach says, no worries, I'm willing to be moichel, or vice versa. Even if there's mechila, it's still not okay. And the reason is, says the Rashbam, because we're concerned that people are going to observe what you're doing. They're going to see you being moichek b'makim, and they're going to think that the minhag hamakim really is to be moichek. And in the future, when they transact, they're going to be moichek, thinking that's what you're supposed to do, when in fact, that's not what you're supposed to do. So the purpose of this drasha is not to say, thou shalt not steal. The purpose of this drasha is to say that even if there's mechila, so you think from a pure chayshon mishma perspective, what's the big deal? Kamash malon, there's this extra halacha that says that ein moichkin b'mokim shagoychim, the ein goychim b'mokim shemoichim. The Braisa continues and says, uminayin, how do you know shem amah hareini moichik b'mokim shagoychim? V'livchoy sleimen adamim. What if a person says that I'm going to be moichek in a place where the minig really is to be goydish, meaning I'm going to give the person a little bit less. Now, not only is the person moichel, I'll tell you better, I'm even going to charge him less money, meaning I'm selling him a little bit less. Or, I'm going to take more. And the lekech says, I'll pay for it. How do you know she'en shleima? Like that? Even that's not okay. From the extra word v'tzedek, we learned that you have to be righteous. How righteous? You have to be so removed from this inyan that even if the person says, I'll pay more money, or I'm willing to be mevater on the money, even that's not going to be okay. So again, that's poshut that you can't steal. What we're saying is that to be moichik b'makim shel goychen where there's a mechila is not okay. And even if you're going to charge more or less money, so now for sure, what's the problem? Afilu hachi, there's a drush in the pasuk that says this is something that you're not allowed to do. That's the first price. The second price, the tanur rabbanim. Nayin she'im ma'ayin b'makim shel machriyin, ve'im machriyin b'makim shel ma'ayin. So another thing that we saw in our Mishnah was that there were different minhagim when it came to people that bought things that were measured on a maznayim. So there were places where the minig was to be machriya, to give the loikeach a little bit extra, to make sure that his side is machriya sakaf, right? It'd be a little bit lower. There were places where the minig was to give ayin ba'ayin, where they were machriya. So says the Braisa, how do you know that you can't be ma'ayin b'makom shemachriyin, and you can't be machriya b'makom shemayin? In Talmud Loimar, it says even shleima. And from that word shleima, we learn that this is something that you're not allowed to do. And again, even if the person's being moichel, afilu hachi, it's not okay. Menayin shema ma'arini ma'ayin b'makom shemachriyin. V'il livchay shleimin adam, v'arini machriya b'makom shemayin, v'il ha'isaf le'al adam, and shein shleima. How do you know that even if the person says, I'll take a little bit less, or I'll pay you a little bit more, afilu hachi, it's aser. Talmud Loimar, same exact drasha, even shleima v'tzed. And from there, we learn from the extra word tzedek that even if the price is going to be impact, afilu hachi, this is not going to be okay. And that concludes the second brisa. It's interesting, if you look back at the simen, so how did the simen begin? Ein ma'ainin ve'ein goychen. The brises that we just brought were in reverse order. It was first ein goychen and then ein ma'ainin. The Aderes in his Megillah Simonim, it's very Meirich in this Simon. We'll speak him out a few times. And the first ha'ara that he has is that it seems from the Simon that the order of the Brises, the way we have it, are not okay. Or the truth is, it could be from the order of the Brises, the way we have it, it would seem that the Simon is not okay. He says he thinks the Simon is the real. And as a result, really, the two initial Brises that we have in today's daf are Tziriktivigs, they're out of order, and you have to be Geiris. First, the braisa that says ein ma'ainin, and then afterwards, the braisa that says ein goychen. Either way, Omer Rav Yehuda Misura. Rav Yehuda Misura said, and by the way, this is not a braisa. Rav Yehuda Misura is an amoira. It says, lo yilcha beveischa. So what's the pasuk in totality? A lot of psukim. It says, lo yilcha bechischa Evan va Evan gedaylo ktana, and then it says lo yir lecha beveischa efa va efa gedaylo ktana. So Rabbi Yehuda misura darshin, it says lo yir lecha beveischa. So he said matam. What's the reason? Mishum efa va efa. In other words, he said literally a drush, almost a chesidish taitch in the pasuk. Lo yir lecha beveischa efa va efa gedaylo ktana. What does the pasuk mean? You can't have in your bias two efas. You can't have a gedaylo ktana because it's going to lead to ramos. So the way he taitched the pasuk was lo yir lecha beveischa. You're not going to have in your house. What are you not going to have in your house? What you want to have in your house, right? Kesef balas. So you're not going to have money. You know why? Mishum efa ve'efa. And then he touched again. Lo yir lecha bechischa evan ve'evan g'day levaktani. He said, lo yir lecha bechischa. You're not going to have in your keshener. What are you not going to have in your keshener? What you want to have? Matam. What's the reason? Mishum evan ve'evan. Aval. This chesidish ha'taych continues. Evan shlema v'tzedek. If you're going to have an Evan Shlema and a Tzedek, Yilach, then you're going to have what you want. Efa Shlema v'tzedek. And if you're going to have an Efa Shlema v'tzedek, Yilach, you're going to have what you want. This drasha is a real drasha. We're going to get back to this in the Rei. Tanu Rabbanon. It says in the Torah, Yilach. And from there, we learn, Melamed Shemamidin Agardamin Lemidois Ve'in Mamidin Agardamin L'sha'arim. So it says in the Torah, Evan Shleim of Etzedek Yielach. Yielach teaches us that it's not just incumbent upon you to make sure that you do this the right way, but it's really incumbent upon the authorities, upon Bezdin, to make sure that there are going to be people that are going to be in charge, and it's going to be their job to make sure that everybody's doing this in the right way. That's what we learn from the word Yielach. So what's a gardeman? A gardeman are like shoymrin, shoytrin. So these are people that it's their job to make sure that nobody is playing games with this. Stating that, the Braisa says, ve'ein ma'midin a gardeman l'sha'arim. We only have it for the midos, but you don't have it for the sha'arim. So what's sha'arim? So this is going to be really the topic of the coming daffin, but it's referring to price gougers. So people that are charging too much money for something that really they have no business charging all this money for, meaning their markup is considered to be a little bit excessive. So says the Braisa, so you would have thought that mamidin agardim in l'sha'arim kamash malon, that's not something you do. Now why not? Mamidin agardim in l'midois ve'im mamidin agardim l'sha'arim. Right, you would think they're really one and the same. They're certainly related. That's why we're talking about both of them in the same braisa. So why yes when it comes to midos and no when it comes to sharim? So the Rashbam says that the reason is because for the midos it's necessary. How do you know if this midos is erlich or not erlich? So you need the experts to come and to analyze it. But for the sharim it's not necessary. The reason is because really the sharim are supposed to take care of themselves. There's supply and demand. And as a result, if you walk into a store and you feel that there's an item that's too expensive, so go to the competition. And presumably there'll be someone that's going to realize that there's an inefficiency in the pricing and he is going to undercut the market. Like this, you'll have an option. Now, when the guy who's charging more money chaps that he's being undercut, he's going to lower his prices. The point is, this is the invisible hand that underpins the entire economy. And as a result, Chazal felt that this is not something that we need to intervene with. We'll intervene where it's necessary. But this is classic trickle-down economics or Reaganomics, whatever it's called. But the point is, the invisible hand that makes the economy work should technically take care of this. And it's for that reason Chazal said, Mamidin agardim in lamidois. Stating that, we have an interesting story. So in the family of the Nasi, they appointed a gardeman for Midas and for Sharon. So Shmuel told Karna, Puk, Tani, Lohu, go tell the Bein Nasiya that they're being Amaratzim. Go tell them the following braisa, that Mamidin a gardeman for Midas, they Mamidin a gardeman for Sharon. Meaning what they're doing is wrong. So Karna heard what Shmuel said. Nafak, he went out. Darishu, he got up. He brought a shtender, a pulpit, he gave a club, and he said, quote, Mamidin agardamin, bein lamidais, bein l'sha'arim, which was exactly the opposite of what Shmuel told him to do. He was sort of preaching to the choir. He was telling the Bein Nasiya what was music to their ears, what they wanted to hear, but it wasn't what Shmuel had told him. So Shmuel heard what Karna said. He wasn't happy. Amalei told him, Mashmecha, tell me, what's your name? So he said, Karna, come on, we're old friends. You know my name. So he told him, typically, Karna Be'ene. Your name is Karna? Karna means a horn. A horn should grow out of your eye. Nafkali Karna Be'ene. Shmuel said it. Kishkaga she'yotza milifnei ha'shalit. And exactly what he said should happen, happened. So what does it mean that a horn grew out of his eyes? So it's not clear what that is, but if you look at the Mefarshim, it seems to be some growth. So something came out of his eye, and it was an einish the klala of Shmuel. Says the Gemara, "Iu command safer." Why was Karna doing this? What Stam he was trying to chanfa the Bein Nasiya? No, the other Amar Rami Bar Chama Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. It was based on something Rami Bar Chama had said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Mamidin agardemin bein lemidais bein l'sha'arim mipnei haramon. Because at the end of the day, there are ramon, and these ramon are going to figure out a way to bypass even what the economy should technically be able to do on its own. And because he was aware of these Ramayan, so it's for that reason he felt he had to do what he did. The Rashban gives an example of what the Ramay would be able to do. The Ramay will wait until the Schayer is already not around, and then he'll raise the prices. Meaning, if this competition, so Enochinami, why are you buying by him? Go buy by the competition. But let's say there's no competition, right? So, you know, in a world once upon a time where to get product wasn't so simple, Shachiyonus, etc., etc. So there, it's very likely that you'd be in a situation where this Moicher is the only game in town. And it's for that reason they felt that it was necessary in the Pnei Ramayan to do this. Either way, that's the third brisa, which in the simon is called be'agardamin. Moving along. Let's say somebody wants to buy a litra worth of something. Shaikulay litra. So the mishkal, the weight that's going to be used, will be a litra, right? So picture the maznayim with the two cups, and you're going to have a weight on one side, and whatever it is you're trying to buy on the other side. So if you want to buy a litra of something, so you take a mishkal that's a litra, put it on one side, you put the meat or whatever it is on the other side, and as soon as it's even, you know you got yourself your litra. Chatzi litra, shaykulei chatzi litra. Revia litra, shaykulei revia litra. That's the brisa. Frey Gemara, Michael Mashmon, it seems to be pretty obvious. So the Gemara says, no, there's a chiddush, the mesakninan mesakli adhochi. Really, the punchline is that the smallest litra you can have is a revia, but you can't have smaller than a revia. And the reason is because once it gets that small, it's very difficult to really chop the nuance. It's a little bigger, it's a little bit smaller, and there's more opportunity for Ramos, and it's for that reason the Braisa felt that it had to say what it said, and that's what was mentioned in the Simon as Ubelitra. Tanu Rabbanan, another Braisa. Let's say somebody wanted to buy something, and the amount that he's looking to buy is 3/4 of a pound, right? 3/4 of a litra. Okay, so the question is, how do we do this? Now, based on the braisa that we just saw, it doesn't sound like there's a 3/4 of a litra weight. You had the litra, the chatzi litra, and you had the revi of a litra. So the question is, what do you do? Now, the Rashbam says that there's one thing that's off the table, and that is, don't take the chatzi litra and the revi litra on one side, and then put whatever it is you want to buy on the other side, because you're never going to take two weights. That's not something you do. And the reason is because we're afraid one of them is going to fall off, and that's just a very easy opportunity to do the wrong thing. So that's seemingly not even on the table. The Braisa doesn't even address that. Okay, so what do we address? Lo yoyma lo, don't say shkoyli shloisha rive litra achas achas. Give me 3/4 of a litra. How? By measuring a litra once, twice, and three times. Don't do that. Ela shoyke litra. What you do is you put a litra on one side, umeniach revia litra, and then you put a weight that's a revia litra, im habasa, together with the meat, and then when it becomes even, you're going to be okay. So you're going to put the litra weight on one side, and then on the side where you're buying, there you're going to have all the meat plus 1/4 litra. So like this, when it is even, you'll know that it's 3/4 of a litra is the basar that you were trying to buy. Now, why do you do it this way? Meaning, why can't you just measure a 1/4 litra and 1/4 litra and 1/4 litra. So Pasha, the reason is because every time you weighed, it ended up going to the benefit of the buyer. You had to be machria it a little bit. So you're going to be machria three times. It's not fair to the moicher. It's for that reason it was done in that way. Tana Rabbanan, a similar price. Let's say somebody wanted to buy 10 litrin. Don't say shkoyli achas achas. Don't do 10 measurements of one. You have to do it all in one shot. It's like this, there'll be one hachra for all of them. We just learned two braises, which in the simon is shloisha v'asa. The next simon is nefesh. Tanu Rabbanan, nefesh maznayim tluya ba'aver gimel tvachim. So for this next gemara that we're about to learn, a picture is helpful. But the gist of it is that the nefesh of the maznayim is the point where the parts of the maznayim all meet. In English, it's a fulcrum. But it's that point where everything comes together. So apparently there were two types of maznayim. There was the maznayim that had a stand and it sat on the ground or on your desk, on your table. And then there was the maznayim that was suspended from the ceiling. This maznayim here is suspended from the ceiling. So when we talk about the nefesh maznayim being pluya ba'aver gimel tvachim, essentially what we're saying is that the vertical bar that comes from the ceiling down has to be three tfachim long. Meaning the nefesh, that point, has to be at least three tfachim removed from the ceiling, which means that that vertical bar is going to be at least three tfachim. Now, that nefesh is on the bottom of this vertical bar, and then going across it, you have a horizontal bar, and then on the two edges of the horizontal bar, you have these little chains, and those chains are attached to receptacles, and that's where you put the avoinus and the schuyas, right? You put the mishkol and the flesh or whatever it is that you want to buy, and that's how this whole geshäft works. But the bottom line is, nefesh mazayim plui ba'aber gimel tvachim is saying that that vertical bar has to be at least three tvachim from the ceiling, ugvayim in ha'aretz shloisha tvachim. But also, it has to be at least three tfachim above the ground. So the distance from the ceiling to the nefesh has to be at least three tfachim, and the distance from the ground until the nefesh also has to be at least three tfachim. The reason for this is because when you're going to weigh and measure whatever it is you're weighing a measure, so what's going to happen is like a seesaw. It's going to get a little bit lopsided. So you don't want the thing to go crashing into the ceiling. You also don't want it to go crashing into the ground. So for the purpose of efficiency, this was the shear that Chazal came up with. Additionally, the kana u'misna shalah shnei masat fachim. So the kana is that horizontal bar. The misna are the chains or the ropes that are attached to the edges of it where the receptacle is attached to. So the kana and the misna together has to be 12 tfachim. The Rashbam says that the kana is 4 tfachim, and each one of the misnas on the two sides are also 4 tfachim. And 4 plus 4 plus 4, that's the end up with a number of 12 tfachim. Okay, this is for a stam maznayim. Mishal tzambar, mishal zagonim. Let's say the purpose of this maznayim is to measure wool or to measure glass. Then pluya ba'aver shnei tfachim. Then the shear is a little bit different. Then it only has to be the nefesh suspended down from the ceiling 2 tfachim. V'leim enor shnei tfachim. And it only has to be 2 tfachim above ground. V'kanu misna shalot tes tfachim. And the kanu misna together has to be 9 tfachim. 3 plus 3 plus 3. Again, what's the difference? It's just based on the metzias. Vishnochen v'niv shabal bayis. Let's say the chen v'niv shabal bayis, they have their scale. So then tluya ba'aver tefach. It only has to be tluya tefach. V'leim enor tefach. It only has to be 1 tefach above ground. V'kanu misna shalot shisha tfachim. 2 plus 2 plus 2. Has to be 6 tfachim. Vishal turtini. Let's say this person deals with fine metals. Pluya ba'aver shloish etzbois. Ugevoyim in ha'aretz shloish etzbois. Right, he's dealing with these very fine precious metals. He's dealing with diamonds, so he doesn't need 3 tfachim of space because, you know, unfortunately, it's not going to weigh it down that much. But either way, so the shear is going to be much less. So it's going to be 3 etzbois on top, 3 etzbois on bottom, and the kano, the misna shalah, mysteriously, says the Tana of the Braisa, Eini Yodea. I don't know. Says the Gemara. Okay, this is the Braisa, right? So the Braisa started and said, Nefesh Maznayim Pluya Ba'aver Gimel Tvachim. And the Kana and the Misna is 12 Tvachim. And then it got nuance. What about if it's used for wool? What if it's used for glass? What if it's the Chemini? What if it's the Balabais? Right, we had all these different examples. So the Gemara says, Vela, Hach Kamaisa Demai. What was that original? The Stam Maznayim of this Braisa. It's not all the things that were specified in the Braisa. So what was that used for? So the Gemara, Amar Apapa, Rapapa said, Digrumi. It's for bigger pieces of metal. That's what that was used for. Amar Amani Bar Patish. Giderek Sh'amru Le'inyin Isurim. Kach Amru Le'inyin Tumasim. Just like we said, with regards to all these different maznayims, that the certain shiurim that they have to be. And if not, you're over an isser, you're getting involved in the isser of mishkalos. This shiur is also negeya tumasan, meaning, in order for a keli to be makabel toma, it has to be a proper keli. That's Maseches Kelim 101. In the event that you're going to make a maznayim that's not going to conform with the shiurim of Chazal, that will not be considered a keli, and it won't be mekabel toma. And the reason is, says the Rashbam, the loy chashivi kli kivan the also lishkol b'hem. If you're not allowed to measure with it, it's not considered a keli. Pasha, you would say, of course it's a keli. You're just not allowed to be shoykel with it, right? Macholis asuris is macholis. It's just asuris. So you would think, of course, it's a keli. That's a chiddush. That being that you're not allowed to use it in the world of Tumas Kalim, this is not something that's going to be okay. But the Gemara says, Michael Mashmon Tanina, I know this. How do I know this? From the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Perik Chof Tes Mishnah Hey, Mesechtes Kalim, Chut Moiznayim Shal Chenveni, Vishal Bale Batim, Tefach, that the Chut Moiznayim, meaning the pole of the Moznayim, when it's a chenveni, or when it's a balabas, it has to be a tefach, in order for it to be makabel tomo. Now, if you look back at the brayso on the bottom of Amud Aleph, that was the shear as it relates to Isser also. Meaning the proper shear, when it comes to the chenveni and the balabayas, is a tefach. What do you see? That the same shear that Chazal gave for the Isser, they gave for the tomo. Oh, so I already know what Rav Mani Bar Patish said. Meaning, Ramani Bapatish is saying a Gishmak Azach. He's rather saying a Chiddish, like we spoke here. But he's saying a Gishmak Azach. Or Befreik the Gemara, Maikom Ashmo Antonino, Lechura, I see it in the Mishnah. From that one revelation of the Mishnah, what the sheer Tumma of the Meznayim, of the Chenveni and the Balabayas is, I see it matches up with that price as it relates to the Isser. Thus I know it's the same sheer. So the Gemara says, Kono Misna Shalah, it's Trichale Deloit. Now, the Mishnah only said it with regards to the fulcrum, right? It didn't say it with regards to the Kono Misna. No. So that's Ramani Bar Patish is saying that everything that was saying in the Braisa is Nageya the Shir Tomazal. Meaning you would have thought that maybe how long that toll is, that's ma'akiv in the Shir Toma. But as it relates to the Kanu Misna, maybe that's inferior. Again, you probably had to be there in order to fully appreciate this Chiddush, but that's what Ramani Bar Patish was coming to say. And that concludes the next Braisa, which was referred to as Nefesh. Mishkolois, says the Gemara Vaita, Tanu Rabban. Actually, that was Nefesh, a little tricky. Mishkolois is the next price. Tanu Rabban. Ein oisin mishkolois, you're not going to make a mishkol. These weights, loishal eitz, not out of wood, but loishal aver, or out of lead, but loishal gisterin, Rashbam says those are scraps of metal that are put together, but loishal sharmine matkes, or even different types of metals, aval oisu shal tsunmo, you should make it from stone, vishal schuches, you should make it from glass. Now, the reason you're not supposed to make the mishkolis out of all those things is because those things, they erode, and they fade with time, they go bad, and as a result, it starts off one weight, and then by the time you're done, it weighs something else, and therefore it's very vulnerable for there to be corruption. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein oisen hamechak shal delas. So now we're talking about a mokkaim with a minig was to be moichik. So he said there were places where if you bought a shear, they'd fill up the container, but then they would smooth it out. So this price is talking about what you're allowed to use to smooth out the content. Ein oisin hamechak shel delas. So this moichik is not let it be made out of a delas. So what's a delas? That's a gourd of simonim fame, right? So you're going to make it out of a gourd, so it means the skin of the gourd, which is hard, and you would have thought that's a very practical use for that. So up to Bryce, it's not okay. And the reason is, mipnei shehukal. The reason is because it's a little bit too light, and as a result, it's not going to smoothen it properly. You can't use one made out of metal, because that's going to be a little bit too aggressive. You should make it out of olive wood, which is sycamore, which is another type of wood. The point is, again, these are the things that you have to use it from. Tanu Rabbanan, another price. So this mechak, whatever you're making it from, so you can make it in a way where one side's going to be narrower and the other side is going to be a little bit thicker. And the reason you're not allowed to do that is, so the Rashbam says, Mepnei shahakotzer nichnas b'teicha tfuah u'moichek yofa. The smaller side is going to go into the keli and it's going to do a better job. And the thicker side is not going to do such a good job. So we're afraid that you are involved in mekach and memkar. Sometimes you're a mekach, sometimes you're a memkar. Sometimes you're buying, sometimes you're selling. So when you're buying, so then you're going to want it to be a little bit bigger. Then you're going to use the thicker side. And when you're selling, you're going to want it to be a little bit less. Then you're going to use the thinner side. So therefore, you can't have this one mechach that's on one side, av, on the other side, kotzer. Okay, what do you do? So the Rashbam says, whatever the minhag ha'makom is. If the minhag ha'makom is for it to be kotzer, that's fine. If it's for it to be rachik, that's also fine. I mean, that's okay. We're not micromanaging how you do it, but you can't have one side this way and one side that way. Additionally, lo yimchik bevas achas. You can't be moichik in one shot. So let's say you're doing the mechika, you take this thing, you can't just do one swoop. Now Rashbam adds one very important word. Rashbam says, "Bevas achas, bepam achas, ubimehera shnel." You can't do it like that. Sham moichik bevas achas, because if you're going to be moichik bevas achas, it's ralem moicher. The yofel loikeach. It's going to be bad for the moicher. It's going to be good for the loikeach. Because if you do one big aggressive swoop, So you're not going to get so much. You also shouldn't do it very, very slowly. Right, if you're going to be mamish sitting there in a very granular way, so it's going to be bad for the lekeach. Okay, so what should you do? So it's interesting. The Braisa says what you shouldn't do. The Braisa doesn't say what you should do. So for that already, we need the Rashbam. The Rashbam says so there's two options. Elo bepam achas ubenachas. Right, it's the same Rashbam. When we said bepam achas is not good, Zok the Rashbam bemehera. Oh, but if you do it benachas, you're not doing mehera, then already it's going to be okay. Inami b'shtei pamim, or you do it in two shots. So one shot slowly works, or two shots is something that's going to work as well. And this was what the Braisa meant when it said, Memachek Ava Loy Sasu, which was that part of the simen that we had on Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, Al-Kulan Amr Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, with regards to everything that we just said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to say, and this is famous, Oyliyim Oymar, Oyliyim Loy Oymar. Right, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so he was learning Perek HaMechus HaSfin, he was learning all these sugis about the Midas and the Mishkolas, and he was a little bit stuck, he was torn. He wasn't sure what to do. He said, Oyliyim Oymar, Oyliyim Loy Oymar. What's the Oyliyim Oymar, Oyliyim Loy Oymar? I mean, he wasn't sure if he should say this over in Shir. He said, Im Oymar, should I say all these halachas? Shami Lamdu Haramon. I'm literally teaching people how to be a ganav, right? Had you learned to be a ganav, I learned Bava Basra, right? I mean, we talked about all the Hevermans in Cheskes Abatim. So, Yechem Etzak, I said, like, in a way, I feel like this is a clinic and how to rip people off. So Elamai, I shouldn't say Shemu Yom Ramam. Ain't Tamid Chacham and Bekim V'Masi Yadenu. You know what the Ramam are going to say? Oh, this is easy. I learned Tamayches Asfina. They went through the Gemara Daf Yomi style. Boom, in, out, very, very quick. Nothing. You know, add it up. Let's learn the Sugya Bi'i and let's show them that we're onto them. It's like this that they try playing games. So Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai had a classic dilemma. It's interesting because you find a different place in Shas where Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai has his dilemmas, right? The most famous one is in the sugya of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, when he meets the Kesa of Roimi, and what should I ask for? Should I ask for the Beis HaMikdash, but maybe Kulei Hai, they're not going to give me, so Tein Liyavna V'Chachameh, V'Advarim Atikin. But this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai again, shearing with us, mortals, some of his internal strife and conflict that he had. Like, I'm not sure. Oyliyim Oymar? Oyliyim Oymar. So the Gemara says, very interesting. Ibay Elohu, so the Bnei Yeshiv, they took out their thumbs and they declared a Chakira. Amra, Oyloy Amra, Tachos. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't sure, right? So what did he do? Did he say it or did he not say it? Amra Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Amra. He said it. Why did he say it? He had a cheshbin of Oyliyim Oymar. Umei Haikra Amra, he was coming from the following pasuk. It says, Ki Yisharim Darchei Hashem. Vitzadikim yelchubam, upoishim yikashulbam. Taira is taira is taira. Tzadikim yelchubam, upoishim yikashulbam. Somebody wants to be a poisheya and he'll be nichshol from the taira. It is what it is. But at the end of the day, we're not embarrassed. This is what it is. We don't make chashboinis. Bahadei kashu d'rachman olamalach. Tzadikim yelchubam. No, there's poishim, upoishim yikashulbam. One last braisa. Tanu rabbanan. Loisasu ovel b'mishpat. Bemida, bemishkol, ubemesura. One of the psukim in the Torah that we mention in the Hakdama to the Shir. Says the Gemara, bemida is umeditas karka. Rashi brings the Chumash. It's referring to a measurement that was used to measure land. Shalo yamud le'echa b'moysachamu u'le'echa b'moysachshamin. And we're coming to be moysif that if a person is going to measure, so don't measure for one person be moysacham and the other person be moysacham. So we're talking about two shutfim that are going to divide a piece of property. Or ha'achin shachalku. So you're going to measure the two respective halves of the property. So don't measure from one shutf be moysacham for the other one be moysacham. And the reason is because be moysacham, the rope is dry, and as a result, it doesn't schlep as much as in the winter when it's moist and when it's wet. So it's going to come out that it's going to be uneven. So that's this loisasu ovel. B'mishpat b'mita. When it comes to medidas karka, that's the emphasis. B'mishkol shalayatme mishkolois b'melach. You shouldn't take your mishkolois and keep them hidden, submerged inside salt. Why? Because if you're going to do that, the weight is going to be off. All right, what way is it going to be? So the Rashbam says it's going to be heavier. Rabbeinu Tam says just the opposite. It's actually going to be lighter. Either way, b'mesura. What does that mean? Shalayar siach. So b'mesura we said is midas halach. So what does it mean midas halach? That you shouldn't pour the mashka into the cup that you're measuring in a way where it's going to foam, right? So if you pour it a little bit too aggressively, so then two-thirds of the cup is the foam. Only one-third of it is the beer, right? Or whatever it is that you're pouring. So you have to learn how to do it a little bit on a tilt, right? Everyone learned how to do this, many, many years ago. But the point is that's what the Gemara says. Shlo yarsiach, you shouldn't do it in this way. Zok the Gemara, the kal v'chaymer, and the emes is that from here we can learn a kal v'chaymer, u'ma mesura, madach the mesura, she echad mishloishen v'shisha b'lok. So you want to know what the measurement of the Masura is, Mayim the Masura Tishta, right? It's very, very small. How small? It's 1/36th of a look. It could be the Olive Torah. Torah was makbid, and the Torah said, be careful. Kavachomer lehin v'chatzihin, u'shlishasahin, u'revirasahin, v'lug v'chatzih, lug u'revirasahin, v'tumen v'chatzih tumen v'ochla. These are bigger shiurim than the Masura. So madach, you have to be sensitive when it comes to this. Certainly, you'd have to be sensitive when it comes to that. And this is the Braisa that is referenced to in the Simen as Loi Sasu. Now, if you look, the last words of the simon is Lo Yasa. So we went through everything, right? In Ma'ainin Vein Goichin, Bagardim Ubelitra, Shloisha Ba'asar, Nefesh, Mishkolois, Memachik Ava, Loi Sasu. 10 Brises. The simon concludes with the word Lo Yasa. It's a little bit of a problem because there's really no Brisa that the Gemara is going to mention. I looked ahead, that says anything about Lo Yasa. So it's a little bit unclear what is Lo Yasa. So the Aderes in his Megillah Simonim says that it's a little bit Tzarech Bir. This has to be something here. What's going on over here? So he said, I think that the Lo Yasa is referring to the next Gemara, which we're going to start now and really we'll pick up in tomorrow's daf. But although, as we're about to see, the Gemara doesn't start with the word Lo Yasa, I think you have to change the gears of the Gemara, says the Aderes, based on the fact that the simen is Lo Yasa. So what's this next Gemara? Again, we'll just say the words. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Asa lo adam sheyasha midah chaseira or yaseira b'toich beisai. A person is not even allowed to keep in his house a midah chaseira or a yaseira. A midah that's a little bit off. Va'afilu hi avit shomei mei raglayim. Even if this midah that's off, you're using right now, literally as a Abdit Shomei Raglai, using it as a urinal. Afilu Hochi, this is something that you're not allowed to do. Now the Rashbam says Gishmak. If you're not using it for Abit Shomei Mei Raglai, I don't need Amr Rav Yehuda, Amr Rav to tell me, Asal Adam Sheyasha Midah Chaseira, Yisei Rebetach Beisai. That's Pashit, that's included in the Pesukei HaTorah. The Chiddush is, Afilu Hi Abit Shomei Mei Raglai, so I would have thought it's out of use, and not only that, it's being used for something that's disgusting, so you're never going to end up coming to corruption from it. Afilu Hochi, this is not going to be okay. Amr Rapapa said, Loya Marin, the only time this was said is the Asra the Loi Chasimi. Avob Asra the Chasimi, this is true if you live in a town where if you're going to use a midah or a mishkol, it doesn't have to have a shtempel, right? It doesn't have to be certified by the government. So then you have to be worried. What if a person's going to use this thing? That's not good. But if you live in a place where you have to use something that's already certified, so then we're not so machber when it comes to this. So Eloi Chazi, Chasim Eloi Shakol. So then you don't have to be so careful. Now it sounds like the Iker is a dayrais of having a midah that's off maybe would be a problem. But to use it as an avachol maybe raglayim, if you live in a place like this, it's not such an issue. He continued and he said, Uba'asrut loy chasimi nami layamara, and even if you live in a place where people don't need it certified, still the only time it's gonna be a problem is Elo Deloy Mahandasi. When the regulators don't come in and they don't inspect, Abu Mahandasi, less slumber, but if you live in a place where there's regulators, so then there's a mirsis. Then we assume that the person's afraid, and therefore there's no chashash you can end up using it. So if you want to keep it in your house and use it for an avich or meimir aglayim, it's not going to be okay. But the Gemara says, as it relates to the last thing we just said, it's not true. Below, he's in the mikri bein hashmoshes, or mikri v'shachol, right? Stam bein hashmoshes is Erev Shabbos. We're afraid that maybe Erev Shabbos, bein hashmoshes, somebody is going to come and he's going to want to buy something, and then you're going to pull it out, and you're not going to be thinking about regulators, and as a result, something bad may end up coming from it, and as a result, it's not okay. Now, this memory that we just said is Amrav Yehuda Amar Rav, and the Gemara, this is where we're going to start tomorrow's daf, begins Tanya Nami Hochi Lo Yasha Adami Dechaseira, word for word what Rav said, which is going to segue knee deep into tomorrow's daf. But it says Daderes that the last part of the simon was Lo Yasa. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said Asala Adam Sheyasha, and the Gemara says Tanya Nami Hochi Lo Yasha. Zok, the Aderes, is posha to me that the last part of the simen is Rabbi Yudam Arav's Memra, which is also a Braisa, like all the others. It's a Tanya Namiyachi. I in the Braisa, it says, Lo Yasha. So why would the simen be Lo Yasha? So he says that means the Gers is off. Right? Something's off. So he says, "Mi nitcha mipnei mi?" Says it's pasha to me. The brice is nitcha mipnei asimen. The simen was real. Right? The simen was made to remember. But he said, I think that the brice is nitcha mipnei asimen. Now he doesn't say it as a rule that every single time you have this tension between the brice and the simen, that this necessarily has to be the way it is. But he says, in terms of the way you're supposed to understand this is what it is. Maybe a nafkamina lalocha. Are we saying lo yase? You only can't make it. Or are we saying lo yase? It's not just you can't make it. You can't even have it with you. But it's just fascinating because the simanim are always in parentheses, right? So Dhamma Seira sometimes that if you learn a Gemara and there's something in parentheses, so you skip the parentheses. And the Mela, right? Brackets you say and parentheses you skip. This is the way I was taught many, many years ago. Lamaisa, the simen is always in parentheses. So just from that Masaira alone, people skip the simen. Besides, you skip the simen because, like, what does it even mean? Ironically, it was there for such a critical reason so you remember what you're learning. But the bottom line is I'm getting a little excited over here. People skip the simen. But we, in our chabura, have a geshmak in the simen because of that deris is safe and under that wrote teiris on the simen. But this is where the braisa literally has to yield to the simen, that the simen gets the right away. Ad kidei kach, that's how critical the simen is. I'll just tell you something interesting. So this was an elaborate simen that literally baglighted us through the entire daf. Ein ma'ainim ven goychem ba'gardim u'belitru shloysha va'osa nefesh meshkolis memachek avaloi sasu lo yasa. Well, one of the klolim in the world of simonim is the simen usually meant something, had a little bit of a pirish. Otherwise, I think it's easier to remember the daf than to remember the simen. That's just me, right? So obviously it meant something, and if you would know what it meant, so memela, it would have a little bit of a punim. It would have a little bit of a pshat. So at the end of Taderis' arichas on this, he says like this, pirish ha-simen. So what's pshat in this simen? Sounds like it's telling a story, albeit in Greek. Nirali alpi divrei ha-gemara b'rosh Hashanah daf yud zayin amar aleph v'rav chesed matiklapi chesed. It's mamash shnifla. If you take a look at the gemara, it's machlokes b'shamim b'shil. La'asad lavoi, when there's going to be a yom ha-gadol v'anoira. So there's going to be Rishayim, there's going to be Tzadikim, and then there's going to be Beninim. Tzadikim first, so, then Nechtovim, V'nechtomim, La'alte, L'chaim, Tovim, L'shom. The Rishayim, Faket. What's with the Beninim? So V'chayim, B'shayim, B'shayim. B'shamai says, the Beninim, they go to Gehenim a little bit, M'vish Sechup, and then you're ready to go to Gan Eden. B'shil says, no. There's a midah in the Torah called V'rav chesed, mata klapi chesed. That to the extent that it's even, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He's mata klapi chesed. It's one of the Yud Gimel Midos, Shantar Nidreshes Ben. So says the Aderes, that's what's going on in the Simen. In Ma'ainin, the Engoichin, that when it comes to the measurement, we make sure that it's not perfectly even. The agardamen, who are the agardamen? They're the shoiftim v'shoitrin. They're the ones that are overseeing this. Ubelitra shloisha asar. The shloisha asar is a remez to the yud gimel midrash atonet reshes b'hem nefesh. It's the nefesh of the person that's being judged in the mishkalos. The mechek ava, either way, this is the way he teaches it. It's a little chsidish along the theme of some of the drashas that we saw today's daf. But this is the aderes. He says, posha to me that this simon had to have some meaning. And what's the meaning? It's davar b'itay machay. So just to end with three ha. The first R is, so we just mentioned 11 brises, right? A lot of different halachas. If you look at Rashi and Chumash brings some of them. What's interesting is that Rashi and Chumash also brings the one memra that the Gemara brought in the middle of all these brises, a memra from Yehuda Misura, what we dubbed as a chasidah shepshad in the pasuk, right? All the respect in the world. The pasuk says, "Lo yilcha bekischa even for even gedolei v'ktan." What does the pasuk mean? You can't have in your kiss two sizes of avon. Lo yilcha beveischa even for gedolei v'ktan. You can't have in your house two sizes efos. Said Rabbi Yehuda Misura, "Lo yilcha bekischa that you will not have in your kiss." Meaning, you're not going to have what you want to have in your kiss, which is gelt. If Evan the Evan Gdol Vikhtan, if you're gonna be off with your Avonim, and lo yil chabaveischa, you're not gonna have what yet one in your bias, if it's gonna be Efa the Efa Gdol Vikhtan. And he continued, he said, Evan Shlema of a Tzedek, if you're gonna have an Evan Shlema and a Tzedek, then yilach, then you're gonna have all the Shefa. And Efa Shlema of a Tzedek, then again yilach, you're gonna have everything. Rashi and Chumash incredibly brings this drash. So I saw the Reb Simcha Maimon Shlita. Hagoyim, in his Sefer Simchas Yeshua, he mutches a little bit from all the chazals that we have on this pasuk. Rashi, who's oimik pshutai shal mikra. This is the pshat that Rashi brought. This is like a drush. Ben benoi shal a drush. It's a chiddush. The Gemara even says such a drush. What's pasuk pshat? Why did Rashi bring this? It has to be that this drush is somewhat related to pshat. Because otherwise, there's no pshat in the world. Why Rashi would bring this? So he says a davar nifla. He says the words Evan, the Eifa, are Lashon Nekeva. And if that's the case, really what the Torah should have said was not Lo Yielacha Bekischa. What it should have said was Lo Yielacha Bekischa. Because we're dealing with Lashon Nekeva. And in Lashon Nekeva, the word would be Sia, not Yia. Just like you find that the Pasuk says, V'yaseid Tielacha. V'yad Tielacha. Why is it Tia? Because we're dealing with a Lashon Nekeva. And when the subject is a Lashon Nekeva, you always find the words. So Rashi was bothered. Then why did the Torah in Pshutai Shal Mikra say Yi Lashon Zachar? It should have said Si Lashon Nekeva. So Rashi held it was Muchach that there's a drash over here. What's the drash? Lo Yi Lacha means everything. It means Gel. That's Lashon Zachar, right? It means, and Lashon Nekeva, by the way. It means everything, right? So what the Torah means is all the Shefa, the Ganser, and if that's what a yilucha means, then it's moving. Why it's lashon zachar? So if I care, this drush is as a brisk drush. In pshutei shel mikra, Rashi was bothered. Why is it lashon zachar? It should have been lashon nekeva. So it's muchach that the yilucha is not only referring to the evan and to the eifa; must be referring to the ganzer shef. That's the first order. The second order is I saw a ha'ara nifla in. The Sefer Megadim Chadashim from Agoyin Reb David Yoel Weisschlita. He brings from the Shach al HaTorah. By the way, the Shach al HaTorah was not written by the Shach. But the Shach al HaTorah, which comes from the Talmidei Ha'ari. And in the end of Parshas Kiseitzeh, so there's a whole bunch of different gematrios that the Shach brings. Shach, at the end of all the parashiyos, brings a whole bunch of gematrios. And on the words, Evan Shlema, Eifa Shlema, says the Shach, Remez al Shlema, Shetikein ha-mishkoilois ve-ha-eifois. So Evan Shlema, Shlema is a play on Shlema, as in Shlema HaMelech, because Shlema HaMelech was Mesakein, mishkoilois and eifois. And the question is, Tzorech Bir, why was Shlema HaMelech Mesakein the mishkoilois and eifois? Now, even before that, Shlomo HaMelech was Masakin, the Mishkolos, and the Ephes, Psukim in the Torah. The Torah says he was Mechazik then. This Indian of today's daf, maybe the Agardamin, but we talked about in our daf different takonis that were made in the world of Mishkolos and Ephes, and it's Pashat, that's what the Shach is referring to. What he means is this Indian, and it was somehow strengthened by Shlomo HaMelech. But the question is, why would Shlomo HaMelech have been the one to have done this? So it says Rav David Yoel Weiss, Ubederech Efshe Yesh Shlomo. Maybe the reason is because there's a Medrash Shir HaShirim. It's in Perek Aleph Yud. Tani Rav Shimon Bar Yechai. Afilu Mishkolos Shahoyu Bimei Shloima Shal Zav Hayu. Hado Dechsev Ein Kesef Nechsha Bimei Shloima. In the times of Shlomo HaMelech, there was such a Shiris that in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, the Mishkolos themselves were made out of gold. And being that the Mishkolos were made out of gold, says Rav David Yoel Weiss, we learned the Braisa, that the Braisa says that you couldn't make the Mishkolos out of metal. Why couldn't you make them out of metal? Because the metal erodes, and with time it's going to end up decreasing in size. And that's why you're supposed to use stone. That's why you're supposed to use something like glass that's not going to erode. But in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, there was such a shefa that people actually used to use gold. As a result, Shlomo HaMelech felt that he had to be mechazik the Indian, and yesh shloima b'derech efsher, that's why Shlomo HaMelech was mesakim mishkolos. He grabbed and says one beautiful laysofa. He says that we know Shlomo HaMelech made three takonas: erevin, netilas yodayim, and shnius la'arayas. Right, based on a pasuk that says izin v'chiker tike mishalom harbe, and it's a gemara in erevin daf chafal. That these were the three greatest takanas that Shlomo HaMelech made. According to this Shach, what emerges is that there was another takana. He was also Masakin the Indian of Mishkoilois Enefes. But he says that the MS is Toisfis and Erev and Chavalef Amidbeis already says that from the Pasik Izen Vechiker Tike Mishalom Harbe, it sounds like the Harbe is also referring to the takanas that he made. And even though Chazal were Megalatas 3, really it's more. And then in classic Rav David Yoel Weiss form, he says, I'll show you just what I was malakit, different places where you find that Shlomo HaMelech made takanas. I'll just mention a few. Brachis Memches Amidbeis. Shlomo Tikein Loima Bebirchas HaMozlein Al Abayis HaGodo VaKodesh. Bavakama Pei Aleph Amidbeis. Mahalchim B'Shvilei HaRishos Shlomo Amro. The Kolba in Hilchas Tefillah and Siman Yod Aleph says that Shlomo HaMelech is the one that was mesakin to say Birchas Koyanim betfilo. Akoponim, you find already in Chazal, different places, a remez what Tosis is referring to in Erev and Chafala from a base, this Sifsei Koyin in the end of the Gematrias and Parshatsky Seitzei would be a remez to this. But what's the remez? The remez is Evan Shlomo as referring to Shlomo. So I'll tell you one Dover Nifla related to this. And that is, there's a sefer called Evan Shlomo. It's Miteiras Rabbeinu Hagra. What's the sefer Evan Shlomo? So it's a little bit similar to Meiser Rav. It was written by Rabbi Shmuel Malzin and his son, Rabbi Yitzchak Malzin. Rabbi Yitzchak Malzin is famous as the author of the Pirish Siach Yitzchak on Siddur. That's in the Siddur Hagra. And it talks about different hanhogas and different hashkofes on a bunch of inyanim from the Goyim. We learned Agadat the Gemaras recently. We spoke out from the Evan Shlomo more than once. But Al Kolponim, the sefer that's really Teirasa Yishon Hagra that was put out by Talmidei Agra was called Evan Shlomo. So in the Hakdama to the sefer Evan Shlomo, so Rav Shlomo Malzin says that why is it that I'm referring to the sefer as Evan Shlomo? So he says it's based on a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya that Rishrom Mishklov, who was one of Talmidei Agra, he brings in his Hakdama to his classic magnum opus Pasa Shulchan. So he says a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya that there was a Yid that once came to the Goyen. And he told the Goyen that I heard a story about one of the Talmidim of the Ramban who became a Meshumet. And he was talking to the Ramban, and the Ramban told him that you're being a Meshumet, Bisti, Meshiga. He says, you know what the Torah Akdosh is? And he says, every single thing in the world is Meruma somewhere in the Torah. So he said, really? He says, where's my name Meruma's in the Torah? So his name was Avner. So he said, where's my name Meruma's in the Torah? And the Ramban pulled out a Chumash and he showed him exactly where Avner's Meruma's in the Torah. So this Yid came to the Goyen. And he told the Goyen that I heard this Maisa with Ramban. He says, I'm curious if the Rebbe, referring to the Vilna Goyen, ever figured out where his own name is mentioned in the Torah. So the Goyen told him, yeah. The Goyen told him, it says, Evan Shlomo. He said, my name is Elio. My father's name was Shlomo, Shlomo Zalman. He said, Elio Ben Shlomo. This is what he told him. And then he said that after I heard this mice from Yisrael Mishklov, I was talking about the story. He said, I heard a Tosefes Knech this. And that is that the Goyim used to tell us Talmidim that Sefer Dvarim, the whole Sefer Dvarim, is really Merumis, and it corresponds to the Elef Hashishi. The Elef Hashishi meaning the last set of 1,000 years that we're living in right now. And each Parsha in Sefer Dvarim corresponds to one of the 1,000 years, one of the centuries of the Elef Hashishi. Now, the truth is, there's 11 parashiyas in Sefer Dvarim, but Nitzavim Vayelech, this week's parashah, is considered one. And because Nitzavim Vayelech is considered one, so it's for that reason, it's only 10. So he said that the place with the remnants for the Goyen's name was in Parashas Kiseitze. Parashas Kiseitze is the sixth parasha, which is the Tav Kofs, which is when the Goyen lived. So he said, not only do I have a remnants of my name in the Torah, but I have a remez of my name in that century where I'm supposed to be. Evan Shlomo is Eliyahu ben Shlomo, but it's mamash matim with this remez of the Sifsei Koyin al Torah that we're playing Shlomo on Shlomo. Shlomo as in Shlomo HaMelech, and here you have Evan Shlomo as in Shlomo, as in the father of Eliyahu Hanavi. That's the second R. The third R is just one thought as it relates to the sugi that we're learning right now. Just the whole concept of Midas and Mishkolis. And Nemesis, if you think about it for a second, it's a little bit fair. So just to be mocked him. The Chinuch, in Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Reish Nun Ches, that's where he talks about these halachas, he says that it's also for a person to engage in all these corrupt midos and mishkoilos. And if a person does, he's over the lav and the Torah. Not only is he over the lav and the Torah, but even if he will take less than a Shava Pruta, still he's going to be over the Lav and the Torah. Meaning, the Isner of Midas and Mishkolos says the Chinuch is true, Afilu Pachos Mishava Pruta. Mechas Chinuch stells sich immediately on this Chinuch, and he says, to me, it's Sarchi and Gadol, where do you find that an Isser, which is related to a Dovah Sheva Mammon, should be in effect, Afilu Pachos Mishava Pruta? If someone steals Pachos Mishava Pruta, it's not over Leisignoi. Now, there's Chatzi Shir Asim and Atayro, but the Iker is not Leisignoi if you don't have. If somebody is a Gazlin, there's no Isigzela. Ribbis, you don't have on Pachos Mishava Pruta. I know you don't have on Pachos Mishava Pruta. So all these different halachas when it comes to Dovah Sheva Mammon, Loi Shamanu Vloi Matsinu, that it should be true for a Pachas Meshava Pruta. So why did the Chinuch say, and it's Bok Tzener in the Chinuch. Kloima, she'af al pisha b'shar gzeilo is like takpid ha'toyre ele b'pruto. B'inyin amido is takpid b'kolshu. Even a kolshu, the halacha is that you're going to be over. Now, the truth is, the Gemara that we learned felt like it a little bit, right? Because the Gemara was talking about the Mesura, and the Mesura is 1/36th of a lug, and even there we're worried shelo yarsiach. So you see already the Torah makes a big deal that when it comes to these Yisurim, we're makpid even on a davar mu'ud. But no one said the davar mu'ud is pachas mishav b'pruto. That Mesura could be you're measuring aged wine, where every sip is worth a lot of money, right? I don't know. But at the end of the day, if we have a klal that every dovish and the mamin, the shir is always a pruta, mehechatesi, alachinuch lahavi arayah, that when it comes to the isra, midas, and mishkalos, it's going to be different. So luli de mistafina, and maybe it's emes, and the emes is maybe it's even poshet. Maybe you could say a vart. And that is as follows. If you look in the parashah of the midas and mishkalos, there are a few, I think, very obvious, fascinating observations you have to make. Number one, in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, so after the Torah says the Isser, lo yiyah lecha b'chischa evin v'evin g'day, l'ktano, etc., etc., says the Torah, ki toyavas Hashem Elokecha kol oisei eila, kol oisei ofel. This is so serious that if you're nichshal in this inyan, if you engage in this, it's mamish toyeva. Ad kidei kach, if you remember on Daf Peches Amud Beis, the Gemara said that we need a pasuk in the parsha of Arayas to tell me that there's no chorus for somebody that engages in this inyan. Why would you have thought there's chorus? Because in the parsha of chorus it says toyeva, and here too it says toyeva. So sokadai to chamina, there should even be chorus. But al kopanim, you find there's an inyan of toyeva in the parsha of Gneiva and Gzela, Ribis and Oina. You don't find toyeva here. The Torah says it's a toyeva. If you take a look in Rashi, in Parshas Kedoshim, reading the middle of Rashi. Rashi says like this. If somebody engages in this inyan, v'kor, ovel, sonoy, meshukitz, cheirim, v'toyeva, v'garim l'chamisha dvarim, ha'amurim b'dayim. He causes the following five things. Metam nesa'aretz, mechalas Hashem, mesalgas ha'shchina, mapalas Yisrael b'chorev, umagla oysa me'artza. That's a heavy list. And that's negeya what? Someone that's nichshol in this inyan of midos and mishkalos. The next parsha in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, after the parsha of the Mishkalos, is Mafter. It's the parsha of Amalek. Zocher eis asha asa lucha Amalek, baderech betzeischem in Mitzrayim. If you take a look at Rashi and Chumash, Rashi says like this. Zocher eis asha asa lucha, im shokarta b'midois u'b'mishkalois, if you're guilty of midois and mishkalois, havi doyeg migirui ha'oyev, shenema moiznei mirmo, toyev as Hashem. The smichos of the parasha of the Midas and the Mishkalos and the parasha of Amalek, Zok Rashi, is not a coincidence. The reason they're next to each other, the reason they're juxtaposed, is because the Torah is coming to say that if you're going to be guilty of Midas and Mishkalos, Hevi doyeg migiru ya'oyev, now Amalek might come. Midas and Mishkalos brings the unfathomable. What's the worst word in the Torah? Amalek. This can literally bring to Amalek. I'll tell it to you even sharper. There's a Yalkut Shemoyni that makes the same point that Rashi makes. Rashi is quoting a Medrash Tanchuma. This is another Chazal. It's in Yalkut Shemoyni that also talks about the smichas between the parasha of the Midas and the Mishkalos and the parasha of Amalek. And Yalkut Shemoyni says that why did Moshe Rabbeinu take the parasha of the Midas and Mishkalos and put it next to the parasha of Amalek? Omar Moshe, Yidbak Rasha l'Rasha. Let's take a Rasha and put him next to a Rasha. And then the Yalkut gives a mashal. There was a person that was a Ritzeach and had to be incarcerated. And the king was looking for a place to put him, but all the people that were already incarcerated didn't do Averis as bad as this guy. And as a result, they had nowhere to put him. So they left him by himself. Then all of a sudden, another Ritzeach came. When the Ritzeach came, so the king said, oh, Yidbak Rasha l'Rasha. Now you have a companion. Now you have somebody that you can hang out with. Kach Omer Moshe. Who am I going to put next to Amalek? I don't even know who to put next to him. You know who you put next to Amalek? This guy. Yidbak Rasha l'Rasha. By Gneiva and Gzela, you find this Indian of Yidbak Rasha l'Rasha? What's going on over here? The Mesis says, this makes you revisit the Gemara on the Peches Amid Beis. Amar Rab Levi, Kosha, Unchen Shal Midois, Me Unchen Shal Arayas. The way the Rashbam explains the Gemara, it sounds like it's true even for Gzela, but I don't know. Maybe the word midos is very bediktuk, because you find that when it comes to midos, there's something unique. There's something special going on over here, in a bad way. This is not your regular gneiva and gzela. So the question is, what's the vart? What's the punchline? But I think it's pasha. And maybe emes. And that is, the truth is, if you look in the pasuk says, Ki toyavas Hashem alekecha kol oisei eile, kol oisei ovel. Zogt Targum Unkelis. Are merachok kodem Hashem alekoch, kol oveid ilein, kol oveid, what's the word ovel? Shkar. Ovel in Unkelis means sheker. In Parshas Kedoshim, loy sasu ovel ba mishpat, loy sabdun shikar bedin. That's what it means. Moiz ne tzedek, avne tzedek, efas tzedek. Zogt unkelis, moiz novon dikshoit, emes. Avnen dikshoit, emes. Mechilon dikshoit, emes. Vehinen dikshoit, emes. The nekuda of the parasha of the Midas and Mishkolis is not the gnev and the gzela. It's not the vart. There's a parasha of loy sigzol. There's a parasha of loy signoi. That's not the parasha. It's not the essence of what's going on over here. You know what the essence of this parsha is? It's a parsha of sheker. That's what it is. It's a parsha of, you're supposed to tell the truth, you're supposed to be erlich, and instead, you're being a chakrin. Loisasu ovel, ovel zogt unkelis a sheker. If you look at Rashi, in Parshas Kiseitze, where Rashi talks about the smichos between the parsha of Mishkolos and between the parsha of Amalek. Im shakarta. In Shakarta, the emphasis is on Shakarta. If you look at Rashi in Parshas Kedoshim, Rashi says the same thing. That's when we throw the whole kitchen sink at you. The nekuda over here is, this is a parsha. This is a parsha of sheker. It's not a parsha of Gnev and Gzela. Gnev and Gzela l'chud, and Midas and Mishkolos l'chud. The yisoid of Gnev and Gzela is that I'm taking from somebody. The yisoid of sheker is not what I'm taking. The yisoid of sheker is that I lie. That's the yisoid. This is a parsha of sheker. Okay, so I think we at least have a distinction between this parsha and the parsha of Gnev and Gzela. But it's still a little bit a dayin oimer dershuni, because why is it such a chomer diga parsha? Why is it such a chomer diga parsha? We have a parasha of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, right? This seems to be a little bit more intense. So, Pasha, you could say that this is a Maisa, right? Midvar Sheker Tirchak means Midvar Sheker Tirchak. As opposed to here, the Torah says, Loisasu Avel, don't do Sheker. So, Ki'ilu, this is Sheker, where the Torah is talking about someone not just speaking Sheker, but doing Sheker. To do Sheker is worse than to talk Sheker. You could talk the talk and walk the walk. Walking the walk is worse. And that's the Nakuda. There's Midvar Sheker Tirchak. And then there's Loi Sasu of a Bemisha. It's going to be worse. Additionally, Demis is in the parish of the Midas HaMishkolos is not just Sheker. There's Sheker. There's also potentially Geneva and Gezela and Oino. Right, there's a lot of things going on. So in a way, the combination of everything, right, brings us all together. But Emes is, this is a little bit above my pay grade, but just the words, the Maral in his Gur Aryeh, right here on this Pasuk. The Maral talks a little bit about the Midas and the Mishkolos and why it is that that ushers in Amalek. And the Maral, in his very unique language, he says, Adover Nifla. He says, "Da ki kasha bara vehemet Hakadosh Baruch Hu yisparach ha'olam." And Hakadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Madad v'shakal ufalas l'chol echad ve'echad kiyumay b'fnei atzmai. Shmoyia kol echad negeh b'chaver klal afilo kichotas shatzayra. The Eibush that created the world with certain gvulim, with certain midos. This has a gvul. This belongs here. That belongs there. Says the Maral that if you operate outside of the gvul, then you cause people to leave their gvul. So there's a gvul that separates Medinois. If you're going to go outside the gvul, you color outside the line, you know what's going to happen? The people, the enemy that was in their gvul, they're going to leave their gvul. That's what's going on here in the Maral. So he says, "Umepnei ki meshakrim b'midois she'ein locha davar kosher l'sheker b'davar she'yesh loy mido v'shir v'asui l'shir v'hu meshakrabot." So he says that when a person is meshaker b'midois, what he's doing is the ultimate checker. Why is it the ultimate checker? Because what's the cheftza of the midah? It's for me to know the emes, and for me to know the gvul, and for me to know the midah. And you're taking that, and you're corrupting it, and you're distorting it. Lokachu davar kasha. And lokach ha-malchus shehu kasha, yabayu miskaraboy. In a sefer gvuras Hashem, his lashon is, ein lecha davar sheker, k'may ha-meshaker b'midois u'b'mishkalois. And the reason is this var, ki davar shu osu l'mida, lahashveis es ha-davar, v'u yoytze min ha-shivar, davar kasha who's that? This is very, very bad. But here's the point. The point is just one nekuda. The parish of the midas in the mishkalois is not a parish of g'nevev v'gzeva. It's a parish of sheker. That's what the parish is. L'fizeh yeish loymer, it's half of a fella. It's poshet. He says, when is there an inyan of pruta? Shama pruta is davar. I'm not allowed to take your money. The yisoid of the answer is what I'm taking from you. So if the yisoid is, there's a shir always of shama pruta. This is not a parish of geneva and gzeil. It's not a parish of not, I'm not allowed to take from you. It's a parish of don't be a shakrin. If it's a parish of don't be a, good, but tonight that I did it in this oifen. But what's the vart over here? What's the nakuda? The nakuda is the fact that I'm a liar. If the nakuda is that I'm a liar, who cares if it's a pruta or if it's pachas b'shama pruta? Does zok techinuch in this parish? Even though by every this is not a Dov Sheben Mammon. The Dov Sheben Mammon is punked. The Yisoid is that you lie. That's the Yisoid. It's in your Koiches HaNefesh that you're lying right now. And because that's what's going on over here, it's for that reason, that's the way it's going to be. The Michas Chinuch, the Hemshach over here in Simon Reishon and Ches, it brings the Lashon HaRambam in Perek Zayin Hilchas Geneva, where the Rambam says that the Isser of Midas and Mishkalos is true not only if you're handling with a Yid, but even if you're handling with an Eino Yehudi. And he brings that it's very big Chiddush, this Rambam. He says, why? Because we know in the Sugya of Genevas Akum and Gezel Akum, right, what we call the censored Sugya, so it's very far plunted what the Shittas Rambam is. But the Kesem Mishnah holds the Shittas Rambam is that it's only awesome in the Rabbanon. And here the Rambam says, Mefurish, you have to do the Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam's Lashon is, Echad HaNoisev and Oisin Im Yisrael, Oye Magoy, Oyved Avayda Zara, Im Madad, Oishokal, Bechaser, Oyver Beloisase. It's the Zel Beloisase. By Gneve Vigzela, it's not the Zel Beloisase. So why by Midas HaMishkalos is it? The Teres is Poshet. Because by Gneve, what's the Isser? What I'm taking from Yanim. Oh, we're dealing with an Eni Yehudi. There's no Isser Deiraisa, maybe. But over here, the Yisoid is not what I'm taking from Yanim. It's the fact that I'm a Shakrin. It's all about me. It's Beinoy Levein Atzmoy. It's Midas. Midas HaBeinoy Levein Atzmoy, right? We spoke at the Goyin Adar Salio once, Parsh Tazinu. That's what Midas are. It's between me and myself that I'm being a chakrin. If I'm the one that's being a chakrin, it's for that reason that's the way it is. Then there's another thing that comes to life is the first two brises that we learned today. In Ma'ainen, in Goitshen, right? What did the brises say? You have to be so careful. We're learning from Sukkim in the Torah that B'mokim Shem Goitshen, you can't be Mamachik. B'mokim Shem Moichin, you can't be Magadish. Even if the guy is Moichel, even if he's taking less money. Why? Because we're afraid that it's going to... What does that sound like? It sounds like Midvash Shekher Tircha, right? Midvash Shekher Tircha, Ayin Mesechta Shavuos, Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara brings over there more brises than important in today's daf. I think it's 13 brises over there. That the Gemara brings in the Sugya Midvash Shekher Tircha. How much you have to be merachik yourself from Shekher. I'm not lying. You're right. But you have to keep a tremendous distance from Shekher. This Shekher is something that you have to keep a tremendous distance from. The Isner of Midas and Ishkolais is an Isser Shekher. And because it's an Isser Shekher, so from Droshes, not after Abonons, these are Droshes. We have Droshes, Fleishig Droshes in the Psukim. We were learning this Inyan of Richuk, because the Torah says when it comes to Shekher, this is not something that you have to just be careful from, but it's something you have to be merachik from. Regardless, this is the Yisoid. The Yisoid is that the Nekuda of the Isser, Midas and Mishkolois is not an Issa Geneva Gzela. Does it involve Geneva Gzela? Yeah. Does it interlace with Geneva Gzela? Me'achos. But at the same time, the Yisoid of the Isser is an Issa Sheker. Im Shokarta B'midois. Loisasu Ovel, says Unkelis, Shkar. This is all about Shkar. You have to make sure it's Kshoit, and you have to make sure it's not Shkar. Opens up a little bit, maybe some of the nuances that we have here in the parasha of the Midas and the Mishkolos.